Praise the Lord, church, and especially our mothers on this beautiful Mother's Day. I pray that you have a wonderful, blessed day. I'd like to pray before we read our scripture this morning. Lord, we thank you for your goodness, for your care and protection. Lord, that you would anoint and bless your word, that we would draw strength from it and renewal. We ask these things in Jesus' name, amen. I'm reading from Exodus, the 20th chapter, verse number 12. It is the fifth commandment. And it says, honor thy father and mother. Why? That thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And then in Ephesians, the sixth chapter, verse number 2, it says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. What's the promise? Verse number 3 says, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, there are lots of scriptures with lots of promises in them, but I don't see any scripture other than these that tells man how he can prolong his life except to honor mother and father. We give honor to all of our mothers this morning as you are the heroes of our home, heroes of our family, heroes of the church. We're hearing about all kinds of heroes, but all of the things that mothers do and what they accomplish and how they keep the family together is absolutely amazing. We thank you for all that you do and how critical you are to the family and the church. And our scripture text emphasizes how important especially mothers are to our well-being. You're important. By honoring your mother, it literally causes us to live longer. And Paul said that it may be well with thee. And I don't have the time to elaborate on all of the critical functions that mothers perform, but one of the most important is you give classes on a daily basis to your children on how to become an adult. From the time that they can crawl, you're giving classes. These classes don't stop once your children leave your house, and the lessons learned provide guidance long after you are gone. So moms, we give you great honor for who you are and what you do. Although by doing this, by giving you honor, the Bible says that we will live longer. We'll be better. The word mother is found in the Bible 226 times, and in the Hebrew, the word mother means the bond of the family. God built in something in our mothers that's inherent, that no other people exhibit or manifest. This concept even applies to nature. It even applies to birds, the role of the mother. Listen to what God said in Deuteronomy 22, 6 and 7. It says, if a bird's nest chance be before thee in the way, in any tree, or on the ground, whether they be young ones or eggs, and the dam, and that word dam there is the same Hebrew word used as mother 226 times, and the dam sitting upon the young or upon the eggs, thou shalt not take the mother with the young. But thou shalt in any wise let the dam or the mother go and take the young to thee. Why? That it may be well with thee and that thou mayest prolong thy days. So God even takes this concept, this principle, even to nature, that if we'll honor the mother bird, we too will have a better life and prolong our days. Isn't it amazing? By saving the life of a bird brings the same promise that honoring a mother does. Now, we have this huge oak tree in our backyard, right at the edge of Hood's Creek. And way up in the tree is this great horned owl, and it's probably about, 25 inches high. My wife has been paying more attention to this owl for the last several weeks than even me, and I know some of you are saying, oh, you poor pastor. She hasn't left her nest once, this owl. She is self-quarantined for at least the last month, sitting on her eggs. Why? Because she loves her young even before she is able to see them. And then I see her mate bringing provisions, food, not able to leave the nest. So the husband, if you will, the male counterpart, brings her things. This will preach, because even though we're quarantined, even though we're restricted sometimes, God brings us provision, as he's doing even right now. I was always taught to respect my mother, and if I didn't, my father was always there to make sure I did. If a child is not taught this principle, things just won't go well for them in later life. Again, this is scriptural. You see how important the role of the mother is in teaching and guiding our children to do that which is right. Now, even though we know that Jesus is God and that he is God manifested in the flesh to become that blood sacrifice for us, not everybody understands that principle. Because he became flesh, he then became subject to all of what is in the book, all that is in the Bible. He prayed. Some people question why, if he is God, that he would pray, but he's fulfilling Scripture. He obeyed all Scripture. And what I saw yesterday in Scripture was this: Jesus honored and obeyed his mother, Mary, even though it really wasn't his plan in order to do what she asked him to do. Jesus' first miracle was at a wedding in John chapter 2, and all of his disciples and his mother were at that wedding, and then they found out that they ran out of wine, a daily beverage. And Mary said to Jesus, "They have no wine." And in John 2 and 4, Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee?" Or "Why is that my problem? Mine hour is not yet come." In other words, you know what? It's not time for me to reveal myself as the miracle worker. And then his mother saith unto the servants, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." And you know the rest of the story. Jesus made wine out of water in foot washing pots that was meant to wash the feet of guests who came to the wedding. Why? Because he honored his mother's request, even though it wasn't his time yet. Can you imagine God obeying his mother? As a side note, Mary was vindicated from all of the false accusations from all of her life since Jesus was born, a mother out of wedlock, her son being the Savior, being mocked daily because she said he was, but not after that day, because they all knew her son was the miracle worker. Mothers have a natural nurturing in them that reaches out to those that are hurting around us. And I see that happening in our congregation all the time. Women ministering to others who are hurt more so than men would. Perhaps that is why so many women become nurses, and we have several nurses in our congregation. Most of us are concerned about this coronavirus. It's just lasting too long. It's had an effect on our freedom and certainly our church services. But I read a study by Dr. Diane Blanchy of the New England Medical College that has verified that a mother carries the blood cells from each of her children after birth. That even long after she gave birth, there are blood cells and immunities from those children that stay with the mother. The doctor researches and has shown when a mother carries her unborn child, there is a sharing of blood cells back and forth with the mother. And a mother not only gives life to her child, but she receives something in return from the birth of that child, her child's blood cells and her child's immunities. And according to the study, the mother carries these cells and immunities from the child after the birth for the rest of her life. And Dr. Blanchey says, when a mother is so sick that her own immune system cannot fight off the disease, it is thought that the fetal cells linger in the mother's bloodstream in order to help with her immunity to fight the disease. A child may leave home, but a child never leaves the mother. Perhaps that is why a mother has such a close bond with their children, even closer than the father. According to Scripture, the church is considered the mother of all born-again saints. So the church, the body of believers, actually becomes the mother that births new saints. And when we are born of the water and born of the Spirit, God's royal blood flows in our veins to protect us and give us immunity from a lot of things that could come against us. Now, I've heard many people say, well, you know, I just don't need a church. I can talk to God. I don't have to be a part of any church. Well, that's like saying my hand doesn't have to be a part of the body, but the body supplies all of the nourishment, all of what that hand needs. Well, the church is the body of Christ. It's the part of God that we can touch. The mother, if you will, is to comfort one another, to protect each other, and to fellowship. And that's what the church does. We are here to protect and comfort one another, give one another strength. It was God's design from the very beginning. You know, more children are raised today by their mother alone than any other time in history. It's a unnatural time in life. The mother is always there, even when the children don't even know who the father is. And the mother, or the church, is the only one who can identify who the real father is. There are some kids who grow up and they never know who their father is. There are some people who have been going to church for years and they really don't know the identity of the true father. Oh, they see the mother, but they don't know who their father is. So there are two very critical things that we need to know as Christians. Number one, who is my real mother? And who is my real father? And Jesus answered both questions in Scripture. And I'm looking at Matthew, the 12th chapter, starting in 46. Matthew 12 and 46. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto them that told him, who is my mother? And who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. The real mother is the body of believers that will do the will of God, all the will of God, and follow the Scriptures. And we all are to become mothers, or to follow the Scriptures as Christ said. Is the church teaching what will save us, or just a feel-good message? It's tempting to do that, just to tell people what they want to hear. And perhaps doesn't require any change in our life. That's what some would say, but that's not what God would have us to do. I'm turning to 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, starting in verse number 1. Paul is saying to Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke. Well, that doesn't go well. Rebuking in church. Exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine or teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine or teaching, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears, or someone who will want to tickle your ears or tell you what you want to hear, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. I want to hear the whole truth and nothing but the truth, because that's where the power is. Paul told the young preacher Timothy to continue to do what you have been taught by your mother. 2 Timothy 3 and 14 says, now this is talking again to the young preacher, but continue thou in the things which thou hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ. Make sure you stick to the things that you've learned from a child. 2 Timothy 1 and 5 says, when I call to remembrance the unfrayed faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. So we see that Timothy heard the truth, was guided by his grandmother, guided by his mother to be the preacher that he is to become. Thank you, grandmother. Thank you, mother. You have made us who we are today. Well, what about the father? Only the true mother can identify who the father is. Even Jesus' apostles were confused as to who the father really was. After 3.5 years, seeing all of the miracles, hearing all of the teaching, being with him every day, yet even the 12, the ones who were closest to him, didn't really understand who he was. So if you'll turn to John, the 14th chapter. John chapter 14, starting in verse number 1. Very familiar scripture. This is just before Jesus is going to the cross. And he says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, he was not going to heaven to prepare the rest of what needed to be completed in heaven. Where was he going? He was going to Calvary to prepare a place for them to be with him for eternity. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known the Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. And yet, they still didn't understand. Because in the Gospels, we find that Jesus spoke from the office of the Son, and he spoke from the office of the Father, if you will. Had the devil known that he was God manifest in flesh, he would not have allowed him to go to the cross. That's where the victory was. Verse number 8 says, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. It will satisfy me if you could just show me the Father. And Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but of the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. We're talking about the Spirit of God that is within Christ. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. In other words, if you don't believe me because you see me, you don't believe me because of the words that I speak to you, will you believe me because of the miracles? This morning, I'm so glad that the mother of my soul, the church, I'm so glad I walked into a place that knew who Jesus is and told me who my Father is. And this morning I am very, very grateful for a mother who pointed me to the true Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for revelation, for inspiration, for your Holy Spirit, God, for truth. We thank you for your word that was inspired by your Spirit and kept for us today. And we ask, God, that you would bless every mother, those in the natural and those in the spirit. It's in Jesus' name, amen.